Thank you very much. People in the room probably don't realize it. If you're in the back of the room and are cold, it's probably about 5 to 10 degrees warmer here in the front. And I promise I won't bite. My presentation is on comparison of glyphosate-tolerant and conventional alfalfa cultivars under different herbicide regimes. And the co-authors are Dan Putnam, Craig Giannini, and Chris DeBenn. And first I'd like to talk about the development of Roundup Ready alfalfa. For those of you that aren't familiar with alfalfa, it's been a pretty long and bumpy road for the development of Roundup Ready alfalfa. It was first developed in 1997 at Montana State University, where a soil bacterium was inserted into an alfalfa plant. And it was commercially available for the first time in the fall of 2005. Can I change it with a clicker? And then many of you probably remember a federal court found that USDA APHIS had erred in approving genetically engineered alfalfa without a full environmental review and required that they complete an environmental impact statement. And the reasons for that was concerns over of contamination of organic and conventional alfalfa by genetically engineered alfalfa. Secondly, the possibility of increased glyphosate resistance. There was glyphosate resistance in other crops in a non-crop area, but we're concerned that with genetically engineered alfalfa that there would be an increase in Roundup resistant weeds. And because of that, further plantings after March of 2007 were suspended. Then there was a notice of intent to conduct the environmental impact statement in January of 2008. The draft EIS was published in December of 2009. This whole process took a lot longer than I think most people in the industry anticipated. And then just earlier this year, the USDA issued final environmental impact statement and the record of decision in January of 2011, which then again allowed growers to plant, harvest, and distribute Roundup Ready alfalfa unrestricted by APHIS oversight and regulation. So many people have conducted research trials with Roundup Ready alfalfa throughout the United States with really very excellent level of weed control. We've conducted numerous trials in California starting, I believe, in 2000 or 2001, and you can clearly see the untreated area compared to a standard treatment of imazethapyr and amoxicillin or the glyphosate and the Roundup Ready alfalfa in the background. Just another trial showing the level of weed control that we're getting with Roundup Ready alfalfa using glyphosate, and some of our standards are to the right, 2,4-DB, which obviously does not control grassy weeds, and a Pursuit in the upper right-hand corner. That gives us a fairly good weed control, but not as broad a spectrum as the Roundup Ready alfalfa. The other big benefit to the glyphosate-tolerant alfalfa is the differences in crop phytotoxicity. You can see our common imazethapyr bromoxynil application on the left with necrosis occurring on the alfalfa seedlings, and the glyphosate, we had no perceptible injury to the alfalfa. One of the really big advantages in our areas, we have a number of difficult-to-control perennial weeds. This is quackgrass here, but we also have a buckhorn plantain and dandelion, and we do not have effective control measures with the currently available herbicides in alfalfa. And this is an application of glyphosate two times, once in the fall in the seedling year, and then again in the spring, and we're getting perfect control of quackgrass. As everyone knows, there is a range of susceptibility to glyphosate. You can see that some of the weeds were completely killed after the glyphosate application. You can see the carcasses there compared to Malva, which is known as being somewhat tolerant to Roundup. But we've been surprised with earlier applications, even the weeds that are somewhat tolerant to Roundup, we're still getting excellent weed control. The real question for the growers, though, with the seed cost of glyphosate-tolerant alfalfa, Roundup Ready alfalfa being twice what that is for conventional alfalfa, they really need to sharpen their pencils and decide what's the yield of Roundup Ready alfalfa compared to conventional alfalfa, and then also to assess the amount of crop injury that occurs so they can decide which approach is most economical. So we conduct their trial comparing conventional and glyphosate-tolerant alfalfa cultivars. They were seeded on June 7th in 2005 at the Intermountain Research and Extension Center, which is in Tule Lake, very northern California, right on the border between California and Oregon. The plot size was 1.5 by 6 meters, and we had 12 conventional varieties, 12 common conventional varieties that are produced in that area, and then also used a common Czech variety, which is Vernal. Those varieties were obviously just treated with conventional herbicides because if we used Roundup, everyone knows what would happen. We also compared that with 12 glyphosate-tolerant varieties, six of which are now commercial varieties and six are still experimental varieties. One of those blocks was treated with a conventional herbicide. One of the blocks was treated with glyphosate, so we could have an accurate comparison of the yield injury that occurs from the different herbicide programs. We had four replications. It was a factorial design with a split plot arrangement where the main plot was our herbicide strategy, conventional herbicides versus glyphosate, and our subplot was the alfalfa variety. Yield data was collected from all harvests from 2005 through 2009. We had two cuttings in that first year, the year of establishment, and then we had four cuttings each year in the subsequent years. These are the herbicide applications that occurred, the herbicides that we used each year. So in the seedling year, we used an application of Amazamox, which is a Pursuit. Then for the following 3 years, once the alfalfa was established, we used the herbicide was hexazinone or Velpar plus Paraquat. And then in the final year of the trial, the fifth year, we used Metribucin or Syncor plus Paraquat, which this herbicide program is very common in our areas, and we switched which herbicide the last year for plant back restrictions. Then in the glyphosate treatment, we used 1.1 kilograms AI per hectare of glyphosate in each year in the spring. So this is just an overview of what the whole plot looked like. So the blue areas, those were the areas that had the Roundup Ready varieties, and they were treated with glyphosate. Then we had the same varieties in another block that were then treated with conventional herbicides. And then we had our conventional varieties, which were sprayed with the conventional treatments that I outlined before. So this is just an overview of what the plot looked like. My co-author, Dan Putnam, promised that he would buy a beer for anyone in the audience that can identify which line here is not Roundup Ready. That is what you said, right, Dan? Not true. Anyway, this was a mistake. We had confusion with a seed company, and they sent us one line that was not Roundup Ready that ended up in the Roundup Ready block. But it didn't last long, but it was surprising. Even in that, you can see that some alfalfa plants did tolerate that Roundup spray. All the plots were harvested with a Carter flail harvester. And these are the results of the trial. This is the variety, whether it was glyphosate tolerant and sprayed with glyphosate, conventional variety sprayed with conventional herbicides, or a glyphosate tolerant variety sprayed again with conventional herbicides. This is each of the years going across. So in 2005, our yield was 10.19 tons per hectare for the glyphosate-tolerant varieties sprayed with glyphosate. Conventional sprayed with conventional herbicides was 10.28 tons, and the glyphosate-tolerant applied conventional herbicides, 9 tons. So it was the lowest. Then in 2006, again, it was not much difference really between the three of them. This should say NS, and this one should also say NS. When I did the conversion in Excel, it didn't recognize NS and put in zero instead. So our LSD was not zero. But for those 2 years, both of these years, there was no difference between those three different strategies. In 2008, the yield was actually highest with our glyphosate tolerant treated with conventional herbicides. I really don't understand why that happened in that year, maybe just an anomaly. When we made the application with the conventional herbicides, that application was made earlier in the season. That application would be made in March. When we applied the glyphosate, it was applied later in April, the thinking being that you would make a later application because you don't have soil residual properties with glyphosate, so maybe just the traffic of going over those plots with a sprayer made a difference. I really don't know what happened that year. Then in the final year, when we used Metribucin plus Paraquat, the highest one was the glyphosate-tolerant varieties treated with glyphosate, 18.26 tons, 17.92 for conventional, and 17.4 for glyphosate-tolerant. So averaged over those 5 years, the highest yielding one was glyphosate-tolerant treated with glyphosate, and the other two treatments, conventional with conventional herbicides or glyphosate-tolerant treated with conventional herbicides, were similar yielding. But our highest yielding one was glyphosate-tolerant treated with glyphosate. This is our 12 glyphosate-tolerant varieties along the bottom, the yield. So you can see we have quite a variance in yield with the different glyphosate-tolerant varieties. The two different bar colors represent whether they were treated with glyphosate or treated with a conventional herbicide. So I've been in Extension for over 25 years now, and you probably think that I would know better than to show a graph like this with all these data here, but I do have a point. A couple things I'd like to point out is the very bottom. These are all the varieties that we had with the Roundup Ready ones, either treated with glyphosate or conventional, and all our conventional varieties treated with conventional. This is an entire list of all the different treatments that we had. What I wanted to point out was that the very bottom variety of all was Vernal, treated with a conventional herbicide, and that to us usually signifies that that's a valid test, because that is usually our lowest yielding entry. The other thing I wanted to point out was the LSD on all these. I mean, not the LSD, but the CV is very low, especially the 5 years combined, an CV of 3%. The main thing that I wanted to point out, though, is the relative ranking of the glyphosate-tolerant varieties treated with glyphosate. So you can see a group here at the top, another group here, not too many down here at the bottom. So that's the ranking of all the glyphosate-tolerant varieties treated with glyphosate. Then if you want to look at the next one, which is the glyphosate-tolerant treated with conventional, all around lower yielding block. But one of the main things I want to point out is they're spread out between those. There are high-yielding glyphosate-tolerant varieties and lower-yielding glyphosate-tolerant varieties. We have an ongoing variety evaluation program in California led by Dan Putnam. What we wanted to do was to compare. In these trials, we've had a number of conventional varieties and glyphosate-tolerant varieties as well, and wanted to see how those varieties compared across a number of environments. So we have the Intermountain area, 2 to 5 cuts, Sacramento Valley at Davis, 5 to 7 cuts, 4 to 8 fall dormancy, San Joaquin Valley, both 5 points, and Parlier, 7 to 9 fall dormancy. So in these trials, they're not balanced. We had a number of conventional varieties and Roundup Ready varieties. But here at Davis, with 8 conventional varieties, 12 Roundup Ready varieties, the conventional varieties were slightly higher on average. At Parlier, 44 conventional varieties, 10 Roundup Ready varieties, slightly higher with the conventional. Here, a little bit larger difference at Davis, 42 conventional varieties and only 3 glyphosate-tolerant varieties, 24.2 and 22.8. Here at 5 points in the San Joaquin Valley, 30 conventional varieties and 10 glyphosate-tolerant, 24.6 versus 23.1. And Davis, identical yield. Parlier, again in the Central Valley, 47 conventional, 10 glyphosate-tolerant, and a slight difference between the two. And then in the Mountain area at Tule Lake, similar number of varieties and very similar yield. So to summarize then, average over a 5-year alfalfa stand life, conventional herbicides reduced alfalfa yield compared to glyphosate treatment, but reduction was not consistent each year. Comparing the three systems, conventional herbicides applied to glyphosate-tolerant varieties was the lowest yielding system, and glyphosate applied to glyphosate-tolerant varieties or conventional herbicides applied to conventional varieties were similar in yield. Although there was a numerical trend in some cases for lower yield in the glyphosate-tolerant versus conventional varieties in the non-dormant varieties that we did in the statewide testing program, this difference was not consistent. This trend was not apparent in the dormant group of varieties 3 and 4. Glyphosate-tolerant and conventional varieties yielded very similarly. The main point to make, though, is the differences between varieties within a group, whether it be glyphosate-tolerant or conventional, were much more important than the differences between glyphosate-tolerant and conventional lines as a group. The other main thing is there are both high-yielding conventional and glyphosate-resistant cultivars for growers to choose from. Thank you.
Well, sorry he's up all this time, but I have a couple of questions, but I'm going to have to wait until afterwards, so stick around, please. Let's give him a hand.